You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. We are going to continue now in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, what does it mean to draw back? To draw back into, building a foundation for repentance from dead works, drawing back from obedience. This obedience isn't as fun as the pleasure of sin. But it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul, and here this is the signature of our Heavenly Father, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, destruction. That's what perdition means. We are not of them who draw back. So there's a warning there. If you draw back to building the foundation for repentance from dead works, if you have a reservation to sin, if you sin willingly, if you draw back, perdition will be your end, destruction. So we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Oh, Heavenly Father, let me be one of those. Let us be one of those. Beginning in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which is really a continuance of the thought, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, because we can't see it. We weren't there, but the Word of God tells us that He spoke all things into existence. And how do we know this is true? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Does that mean that the things which we see with our eyes around us, this physical reality, is made out of things that we do not see? Does that mean that the spiritual realm, which came first, is more substantial than the physical realm, which was created out of it? So what is more important? Is it the spirit, or is it the flesh that is more important? It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So we understand that by faith, because we read the Word of God, and it tells us that, so we believe it. Now you have your charlatans out there that will twist this verse, the name it, claim it, get rich quick prosperity teachers, who take and twist this verse, and they say that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are made out of things which do not appear. No, it's through faith that we understand. It's not through faith that God created the world. And we don't have that power if we have faith, that creative power, because we can't make things appear out of nothing. We don't have that. We can create. We have creative powers. We can take the material that God gave us and create a great work of art, or create an automobile using the materials that He gave us with the laws that He gave us to govern those materials. But we can't practice magic by the Word of God, as some of these charlatans would have you believe. Name it and claim it indeed. So we read it in context and we realize that it is by faith that we understand, not by faith that we can do the things that God did, that we have some magical power that we can access if our faith is great enough. I mean, what is faith but faithfulness? It's believing God, and a demonstration of that belief by your works. Still can't get around what James wrote, that show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. He said that faith without works is dead. So if you have faith, great, wonderful. If the works don't follow, if obedience doesn't follow, then your faith is dead. That's all there is to it. So through faith, we understand. We'll continue. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What was the difference between Cain and Abel? Abel did the work that God required. He was obedient in bringing the right sacrifice, the sacrifice required by God. Cain did not do that. Cain brought his own works. He expected God to receive the work of his hands. He wanted to change the rules, in other words. In other words, he wanted to be his own lawgiver, and he wanted God Almighty to comply to his law. So by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Cain did not have that kind of faith that produced obedience. Yes, works as evidence of that faith. So he, that is Abel, by those works, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's where faith begins. First, you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Are you? Do you diligently seek God? What does it mean to diligently seek God? What do you diligently seek with your life? What is your favorite thing to do? I believe that the Heavenly Father wants that position in your life. He wants that favored position. That's what I think it means to diligently seek him. It says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Put him first in your life. Give him that favored position. Diligently seek him as the most important thing that you seek every day in your life. The Messiah talked about the kingdom of God. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So if you diligently seek our Heavenly Father, that means that you're going to live your life to please him. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith produces faithfulness. What's faithfulness? I mean, those one word is derived from another, faithfulness. If I say faithfulness, everyone knows what that means. You know, wives, have you been faithful to your husbands? Husbands, have you been faithful to your families? Do you faithfully pay your bills when they are due? Do you faithfully render an honest hour's labor when you work? Are you faithful? Are you faithful to God? Now, you owe him everything if you belong to him. If he has purchased you with his blood, you owe him everything. Your entire life belongs to him. He purchased you with a price, his own blood. And that by that purchase, you get to escape death. Now he owns you. Are you a faithful son of God? Are you an obedient son? Do you live to please him, to keep his commandments? Are you faithful? If you have faith, then faith produces faithfulness. By faith, Enoch was translated. Why? Scripture says he walked with God and was not. That's what the King James Version says. Here we have this witness. It says that the testimony, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What does it mean to please God? You live your life in a way that's pleasing to Him. And how do you know what pleases God? Do you get to decide what pleases God? Do I get to decide? How about the preacher down at the corporate church? Does he get to decide? How about the government? Do they get to decide what pleases God? No. Only God gets to decide what pleases Him. If you get to decide what pleases God, then you get to create your own image of God. And that is exactly what most people do. They decide what pleases God. Really, they decide what pleases them. And they expect God to fall in line with that. God understands why I can't keep His law. He understands. See, they're recreating God in their own image. They're requiring God to bend to their law. Yes, He understands that you don't care about pleasing Him. That's what He understands when you tell yourself things like, God understands why I can't keep His law. He makes an exception for me. Oh, does He now? No, He gets to decide what is pleasing to Him. Enoch, the testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Continuing, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. See, he believed God, but it wasn't good enough just to have a belief that only manifested itself in words and worship and attendance to, services or something like that, like most people. No, it required works. To please God, he had to follow the Heavenly Father's instructions and build the ark. And talk about a long-suffering faith. I mean, it wasn't just 6 months or a year that they worked on this thing. I forget exactly. I think it was something like, if I'm right, 40 years at least, maybe more. I forget exactly. Now I'd have to go research that, but it's not important for the purpose of this study. But it was no fast, easy faith. It was hard work with a lot of tribulation, a lot of scorn from the world. And he endured it all by faith, believing God. And why did he believe Him? Because he knew Him. He had an encounter with the Almighty. And how did he get that encounter with the Almighty? In the same way that we get that encounter with the Almighty. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You have His word? How do you seek Him? You obey Him. He's not going to draw near to the disobedient. You can forget it. If you want to continue in your sin, your sinful relationships, whatever you're in, whatever your unlawful pleasure is, and you think you're going to draw near to Him, you can forget it. You're not pleasing Him. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. How do you seek Him? Open up His word and read it. Let it convict you. Let His law be written in your mind and upon your heart, that you might not sin against Him, so that you can please Him. And you know, He doesn't ask you to do anything that's not good for you. I have faith. That's faith, to believe that and know it. And believe and know that anything that He does not want you to do is not good for you, so you shouldn't do it. Don't you have that kind of faith? To know that what God requires of you is good for you? What He requires you to stop doing is going to destroy you if you keep doing it? We have a perfect Heavenly Father. He's not like our earthly fathers, who are fallible men, who don't always have the right answers, and most of the times, many times, have the wrong answers, especially if they're not following Him. But we, each one of us, have to do with Him, the Heavenly Father. By faith, we can please Him, believing His word. That's what Noah did. He believed His word. Abraham believed Him, and he obeyed Him. Abel, he believed God. He obeyed Him and brought the proper sacrifice. Continuing on here. By faith, Abraham, That's verse 8. When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that is, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Of course, speaking of Abraham and the seed, saying he was as good as dead. His seed was as good as dead. Sarah, her womb, was as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude. That's us, the seed of promise, the seed of faith, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What a story. Abraham offering up Isaac. He believed God. God said that through Isaac shall thy seed be called. Through Isaac, your seed, innumerable. So why would Abraham put his son on the altar having received this promise from God? He believed that God would raise this boy from the dead if that's what it took to fulfill his promise. After all, is there anything that God couldn't do? He had to believe, and he did. And of course, the angel stayed his hand and prepared a sacrifice, and they pulled the goat out of the thicket. And think about it. Here's Isaac. You know, you see all the pictures of Abraham and Isaac, and they always have a little boy. No. Isaac was no little boy. His faith was there too, just as much as Abraham's. The son and the father. The son, a young man, probably, I mean, obviously, could have easily overpowered his father and run off. What I believe is that Abraham was afraid not to be obedient. He was afraid of losing the promise. How about you? Are you afraid to choose disobedience? Are you afraid to lose the promise, even to death? If obedience to God requires your death, is that where you draw the line? Or the death of your children? It could happen. It has happened many, many times. You don't think the inquisitors used the families of those they were accusing? And how about right now? You've got the cult religion of Islam forcing the Islamic kingdom on people with the threat of death. There is nothing our enemy won't do, nothing he won't stoop to. And when the time comes, if you believe that word, and you know it says that many are going to suffer for their faith, when the last great inquisition comes, and it's coming, I don't know when, but it doesn't seem like it can be very far off since everything is in place. Abraham, his faith was so great that he was afraid to to be disobedient. There you go. The fear of God. See? And there it was. We read it. Noah acted out of fear. Isn't that what it said? Isn't that what we just read? I'm going to back up to that. It says in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear. But see, that's what faith requires you to do, to move with fear. If I don't obey, if I'm not faithful, I'm going to lose the promise. See, that's what I would fear, losing the promise. I would fear letting it slip, regardless of the cost. If I gave up my faith to save my children, I would be afraid of losing my children and my own soul. Because remember, the Messiah said, fear not them that kill the body, even your children's bodies. Because you could save yourself and your children. Just get the mark. Save yourself and your children. Then you can provide for your children. And so you give in and you take the mark and you can go down to the grocery store and buy food and live in your house and not have to give up all of the privileges that come with having the mark. But do you fear losing your life more than you fear losing your soul, your body and soul in hell forever? Fear not them that kill the body. Faith. That's what faith is all about. So by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. We're going to have to pick up here after we take a break. You're listening to Cross the Border.